Welcome to the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast, produced by OOT Social Health, where the focus is on exploring the essential elements that drive organizational success, human-centric leadership. Hosted by Adjoa Boahidi, principal of AKB Talent Edge.
Welcome to the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast. My name is Tiagi Delanerol, and I'm your host today. Today, I'll be joined by Shanna Goodell, Head of Global Learning and Development and Chief of Staff to the CHRO at Dhruva. We'll be discussing transforming learning and development, driving cultural change, and strategic growth. Today, we'll also explore Shanna's extensive leadership experience in learning and development, talent management, and organizational change, focusing on her innovative strategies to build inclusive, high-performance cultures and empower individuals to lead, grow, and drive business success. As Head of Global Learning and Development and CHRO Chief of Staff at Dhruva, Shanna leverages her expertise to craft transformative programs that empower people to lead, grow, and achieve meaningful results. Her impressive career includes leadership roles at global companies like eBay, Visa, and Cohesity, where she's delivered bold, actionable solutions to complex business challenges. With over a decade of experience, she has redefined learning and development strategies from launching innovative micro-learning platforms at Cohesity to designing comprehensive change management frameworks at Visa. Today, we'll hear from her unique insights on disrupting the status quo in learning and development, preparing organizations for the future of work, fostering cultures that are fearless in redefining success. Please join me in welcoming Shanna Goodell. Shanna, it's so nice to speak with you today.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. So at the Council, at the Wellbeing Council, we believe in really centering around the human. So you're human. We're going to center around you. And we're going to start off with a couple Proust-inspired questions. The first one is, which talent would you most like to have?
I love this question because it's very relevant to my personal life. I would really love to have the talent of being able to speak any language with any person that I'm speaking with and whatever country I'm in. I believe that language is a powerful connector of people. And when you can speak the language in another country, you're able to really have a sense of deeper connection and belonging. And my husband is from Argentina. He's bilingual in Spanish. And I know some Spanish, but I really wish that, you know, I could just drop into any country and speak the language.
I completely agree with you. I think that it definitely changes the dynamic, right? It instantly warms up the connection. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. Now, this is a bit of a twist on the question, but if you were to die and come back as a person or thing, what would it be?
I would come back as a thing. I think I've done the human thing. I would love to come back as a tree. And the reason being is that trees are strongly rooted and grounded. And they continue to grow and thrive and evolve while at the same time growing through the different seasons, providing shade and shelter and oxygen and a sense of calm to the people around them, that I would love to be able to be that and offer that to others.
Oh, that's such a beautiful way of coming back to life, right? Is a tree. And you probably live a few centuries being a tree as well and seeing a lot of things.
Yeah, as if I were a redwood tree, it'd be, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
Hundreds and hundreds of years. Yeah. That I think trees are so majestic and also they seem like they're just so wise because they've probably seen a lot of things, right? And like you said, they're sheltered to so many animals and creatures that are out there.
Yeah, and they continue to evolve and grow and weather the different seasons and bloom in the spring and then, you know, shed what's no longer needed in the fall and the winter.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So now kind of going into a little bit of your background, right? And driving cultural change through learning and development. At Dhruva, you focus on crafting transformative programs that empower people to lead and grow. How do you align these initiatives with organizational goals that drive meaningful impact?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, right? Because the goals are always changing in organizations, especially in the technology industry. And how we've approached the learning and development programs is that we hang it on a foundation that really doesn't change. And the thinking is around, in order to lead the business, you know, have high impact, achieve your results, you first need to be able to lead your team to success. You need to be developing the team members on your team. But first and foremost, before you're able to even lead your team, you as a leader or, you know, an individual contributor needs to be able to lead yourself. You need to be able to show up every day, being able and willing to give your best and bring your best. And that's what our programs are focused on, is leading yourself, leading your teams, and leading the business. What are the skills associated with leading the business? Strategic thinking, financial acumen. Skills associated with leading the team is, how do you create a strong team dynamic where there's autonomy, there's trust? How do you lead yourself in terms of, how do you have the emotional intelligence to be able to understand what other people need? Being able to understand and read the room in terms of how you can inspire and motivate individuals to do their best.
Yeah, I'm picking up also like the emotional quotient piece that is needed for being a leader as well, right? Like you said, to read the room. I want to reflect back on just one what you've shared. So you said leading yourself, leading the team, and leading the business. I love that. This is the first time I'm hearing it in that context in all of the interviews that we've done. So I love that. Okay. In building a more inclusive and high-performance cultures, you've now implemented strategies to build these very inclusive cultures, such as the DEI Council at Cohesity. What are the key principles for fostering inclusivity and driving performance simultaneously?
The key principles that I keep in mind, there's three main ones, and the first one is around identifying the champions for inclusiveness. You know, it's really hard to create an inclusive environment if you don't have people who believe in it and champion it. And that's what we did at Cohesity, and I've done at other companies, where you identify who in the leader roles and who in the individual contributor roles really have a passion around it. They understand why it's important and how it does truly impact the business. So one is identifying the champions. Two is having the mindset that in a culture, there's a mindset that when you're in a meeting, if you have somebody who's quiet, who hasn't contributed, that you are reaching out and inviting them to contribute their ideas and perspectives. Because at the end of the day, an inclusive environment is making sure that every voice is heard, and we are leveraging everybody's skills, experiences, and perspectives to tackle our toughest problems. So identifying champions, having the right mindset, and then the third one is around making sure that there's structures in place to support that inclusiveness. And a good example that we are doing right now in our HR team is around making sure that the initiatives that we have around our HR goals have a diverse set of team members on it. So folks from different teams within HR, as well as inviting our line of business folks into our initiative teams, because we do believe that having that diversity of thought is really what is going to help us create impactful programs.
That's so great. It sounds like you put a lot of thought in cultivating and making sure that inclusivity is kind of infused into your culture in so many ways, right? Including, as you pointed out, your HR goals, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. We're going to switch gears a little bit now into like the learning and development piece of things and how it integrates into technology. So you have launched the LeadX micro-learning platform to enhance leadership behaviors. How do you see technology shaping the future of learning and development?
Technology, as we know, is shaping the future of everything. And you cannot have a conversation about the future without talking about AI. And I really see technology impacting learning and development in a way that it helps us to secure the knowledge and information that we need. So, for example, LeadX, it's a great platform. It has micro learnings that are intended to take micro actions to create change. And with technology, we are going and we are grabbing the information that we need at that time. And that's critical because we are, you know, the era of going to Google to search for my question, and I'm going to ChatGPT now to search for my answer. Leveraging technology is going to be important in L&D because it broadens your ability to go get and consume information. Where I do believe we need to double down in the era of technology is to not lose the human aspect of learning. We all learn differently. Mm-hmm. And there's some who will learn and be able to apply directly from, you know, maybe a LinkedIn learning. But really where change happens, where mindset change happens, where behavior change happens, is when you bring people together and you have a conversation, whether it's through cohort learning, whether it's through mentoring or one-on-one coaching, because that's where you get to challenge each other in terms of the concepts that you've learned. You can encourage each other to think about it differently and maybe challenge each other's biases about some of the learning that you consume in these technology platforms.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, because what you're ultimately doing is you're also kind of still, you know, you're making room for different diversities of learning, right? Like, because different people learn in different ways. I loved how you're also, it sounds like just-in-time learning, right? Just-in-time, anytime you need to be able to pick up a certain piece of key information, because you're in a very technical field. So a lot of the folks that you're helping, ultimately, there's just so much information to consume. So they're maybe working on deals that they need to have a specific piece of knowledge that would really help move things along further. So I love that you have that piece just in time, but you also have the ability for the mentoring. And you said cohort. I always love to think of cohort also as like almost like community learning, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. At Druva, our L&D philosophy is the digital learning, the in-person or virtual learning, the customized individual development plans and coaching, the in-person or virtual learnings where we have our manager excellence program or aspiring leader program. Following the close of those programs, we have an ongoing community of practice discussion where we get together, we talk about what's top of mind, but we pull through what we learned in the program into how are they applying it in their day-to-day work? What challenges are they having? Who's had successes? And it really just continues that thread of learning. That's great. It's like ultimately what you're doing is it's almost like you have what's the technical term? Like where you do a retrospective. It's like you're doing a retrospective on you know, how the learnings are kind of consumed and how they're absorbed, right, into the culture and like into the psyche of the individuals consuming them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like, I mean, just looking at your career, you've done a lot in your career, and even with respect to change management. So at Visa and eBay, you design comprehensive change management frameworks. What lessons did you learn about leading teams through large-scale transformations?
That's a really good question. And there was another company that I did a change management business transformational change, and it impacted almost 20,000 of our employees. And my biggest learnings from all of the change management that I've done is that change management starts when you are talking about an idea of change. That oftentimes change practitioners get pulled in to help implement the change. And to me, there's a difference. That's change implementation, not change management. So one is start early. That was my biggest learning. And the second piece is around when you are talking about the change and you've identified the change, making sure that you take that step of doing the stakeholder. This is very tactical and logistics, but mm-hmm. making sure that you are doing that stakeholder analysis. And I say that it's a technical term, but really what it is, it's bringing the human aspect into the change management methodology to say, we are doing this change. Let's talk about how it is impacting each stakeholder group. How are they going to react? What are they gaining from this? What are the perception of what they're losing in this change? Because if you skip that step, you are not able to speak and inspire and motivate all the stakeholders. You may hit one or two, but what you need is you need to get every single person behind that change. And to do that, you need to really understand the change at a very detailed level. And then the last piece is around the communication. The communication is so important. We all know this. And it's, again, taking it with the perspective of the diversity and the inclusiveness piece is that everybody consumes the information differently. Everybody hears it differently. And so how do you have a communication plan that reaches the different audiences, reaches them multiple times and in different ways before, during, and long after the change has happened?
Wow. What I'm taking away from what you've just shared is one of the big pieces is kind of doing that homework piece up front, right? In terms of that stakeholder analysis and really diving into the possibilities of like how it's going to be perceived. So yeah. that's key. And then of course the communication piece. How have you, like, in your past when you've implemented these you know, transformations, how have you like leveraged communication? Like, is it through, do you do emails? Are you doing town halls? Like, how are you kind of helping navigate that communication piece? So it's touching a number of different stakeholders.
It's definitely changed over the years. When I did this large business transformation project, gosh, I'm going to date myself, probably 15, 20 years ago now, we did roadshows, and we did roadshows all around the service territory. It was very important that we were visible, that we were there, that we were having the conversations. I think now as technology has evolved, that yes, the in-person and the one-on-one conversations is important, but the communications can really be more Zoom meetings, emails, Slack messages, things like where you're getting the message on an ongoing basis in different technology platforms. But nothing, I will say this, nothing replaces the importance of a leader having that conversation with their team or the individual one-on-one around here's what the change is, and listening for how does that land with them? What are they concerned about? What are they excited about?
That's so great. And do you find that, is this something then the leaders kind of come back to you with so that you can synthesize the data further?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, really where you want to get to as a culture is you want to build the change leadership capability within the leaders. So they're not relying on somebody as a change practitioner or their people team, but that they inherently have that skill and they know how to do it.
That's amazing. So you're teaching them how to fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A little bit.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. So now preparing for the future of work, what trends are you seeing in leadership and talent development that organizations must embrace to stay competitive in an evolving landscape?
The trends is to move faster, leverage technology where you can. I think where we as an L&D focus, we need to make sure that we are aligned with the pace of the business and we're able to integrate learning into the flow of their work. So for example, they have a platform like LeadX or LinkedIn Learning where they can go and grab that learning when they need it. Certainly, it doesn't replace kind of larger programmatic platforms such as a Manager Excellence program, but it's really to make sure that you are aligned with the business rhythm and thinking about how you leverage technology in very strategic ways.
Yeah. So like ultimately you're saying that it's important to be able to, the first thing you said was move fast, right? And kind of meet people where they're at. That's what I'm really taking away from this.
Yes, absolutely. Because it can be a challenge to get for folks to get time to dedicate to their development.
Mm-hmm.
When I say that, it's the traditional development of you're taking a LinkedIn Learning course or you're participating in an in-person event, it can be a challenge. And so how do we make it easy for folks to learn in the flow of work? When we do our development plans, we really focus on making sure it includes the three E's. What's the experience you need? What's the exposure you need? And then what's the education you might need to develop and grow?
So it's experience, exposure, and?
Education.
Education. I love all of the threes, the trios you have. They're fantastic.
Right. I can remember three things. Put a fourth one on there. It might be hard.
You know what? Going in trios or putting things in threes is absolutely wonderful because it's something that everyone can kind of digest. So I'm with you. All right. Now we touched on inclusivity earlier. We're going to talk a little bit about embedding equity during times of growth. So during your time at Cohesity and Visa, you manage growth and organizational change. How do you ensure equity and inclusivity remain priorities in high growth environments?
I think the only way right now, or I shouldn't say that, I should say the way that I've done it in the past where it's been successful is that it's intentional. That equity and inclusion, I hope that someday it doesn't even have to be a conversation because it just is, it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Where we are right now is that it has to be intentional. There needs to be a strategy around it. There needs to be people behind it who are looking at it, who are promoting it and advocating for it. A great example in my previous company was we had the DEI Council, and there was a lot of focus on how do we have the workplace be diverse
So how are we bringing in diverse talent? How do we make the work, the workforce is who we bring in, and the workplace is how do we make it where everybody has an equitable opportunity to participate on projects? How do we make sure that there's equity in terms of exposure? And so that's where the concept of kind of the initiatives come in, is you have big projects, big initiatives. And if you are intentional about how do we include the right people with the diverse set of experiences and perspectives to be able to think about this challenge and tackle it in a very different way. So bottom line, I think it is, you have to be very intentional about it and have a strategy behind it.
I love it, right? It's like when you measure certain things, you then can see results because you're measuring it. So same thing applies, I think, even in business. And even when you think about high-performance athletes, right? They put strategies and focus around particular areas that are important to them. And voila, you have results. So that's really good that you have been intentional in that effort. So you even, you know, just looking back on your career, you've had such a well-rounded career, and your career also started in coaching and consulting. So your experience then in coaching senior leaders and delivering 360-degree feedback has given you unique insights. What lessons do you believe are most valuable for today's learning and development professionals?
For L&D professionals, based on that experience of working with leaders in 360s, my advice would be to really make sure that as we move forward with L&D in this tech era, that we don't lose the human aspect of learning. And I say this because, you know, each individual that I've coached and have done a 360 with, every single one of their plans following that has been uniquely different. Sure, there's some common threads, but each person is so unique that we can come up with great programs that apply to the many in L&D. At the end of the day, we are dealing with humans, and every human is unique, and every human has different needs in terms of their growth and their development. So as you're thinking about your strategy, absolutely leverage all the technology that's out there. It is wonderful in terms of all the platforms that we have that are at our fingertips. But to be sure to fold in that, whether it's coaching, mentoring, 360 feedback, individual growth plans, to really round out the technology and the learning programs that reach the many.
I really, really value what you're just sharing, because I'm also a big believer in that in this era of AI and digital, where we have so many virtual interactions, it's that human piece, not only for reinforcing the learning, right, and really making sure that the information sticks, really stays with us, but it's also, I think, the joy that you have in learning together, don't you think? Like when you've been in groups where you're able to discuss and kind of further dive into subject matter, it becomes much more enjoyable.
It is. And there's a sense that happens. And I've heard this from many of the programs that I've led, that following it, there is a sense of connection and community and a feeling of I'm not alone in this. And especially when you are in a leadership role, and as you get to the higher levels, it can feel very isolating and lonely. So if you are doing programs or being a part of programs that are bringing you together with your peer groups, you're in it together. You're in the business together versus on your own island.
So true. So true. And it's really kind of goes back to the missions of many of the organizations, right? You're there working towards a collective goal together, not alone, together, which is fantastic. Now, I'm gonna ask you a question that's gonna rewind the clock a little, we're towards the tail end of our conversation today. If you were to share a piece of wisdom with your younger self, what would it be, Shanna?
If I were to share something with my younger self, it would pertain to the book that I'm reading right now. It's the Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. And it's the let them let me. And the thought behind that is let others be who they are. And let me show up in how I want to be. And let me show up in what's true to who I am and aligned with my value system. To me, this book, and I'm still in the middle of it, but so far it has really changed my thinking. And if I could say that to my younger self, I think it would reduce a lot of self-doubt and anxiety that I carried with me and imposter syndrome through my career.
I'm shocked to hear that you have imposter syndrome. You are articulate and very capable, and you're helping lead in such large organizations as well. So I'm shocked, but also I do love Mel Robbins as well. So yes, she's fantastic. Yeah. And I haven't read the book yet, but I've seen some of her clips with regards to the let them, be situation, and you kind of just run in your own lane and do what you need to do, and folks will come in and out of your life, right? In different time periods of your life and your journey.
Absolutely.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you so much on behalf of the Employee Wellbeing Council.
Thank you so much. It's been great speaking with you, and I appreciate you inviting me to be on this podcast.
Thank you for joining us on the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast, brought to you by OOT Social Health. We hope today's conversation has sparked new insights and inspired you to prioritize well-being in your journey to organizational success. Remember, when well-being ignites, well-doing follows. Stay tuned for more episodes as we continue to explore the power of human-centric leadership. Until then, be well and lead with purpose.